This is Tyler and Shay. Tyler and Shay.
I know you're going to dig this.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago. Chicago. Always streaming on the ESPN Chicago app.
Check this out.
Good morning. Welcome on in. It's Tyler Aki and Shay Norling. We're with you until 8:30, talking all things Bears, schedule release, and anything else on your minds. We finally have a schedule, Shay. It's one of those like pillar moments of the offseason. You get your combine, you get your draft, you get then you get rookie minicamp, and then you get your schedule released. Next up is OTAs. But the Chicago Bears with an interesting schedule because, A, no divisional opponents until week 11 against the Packers. Let's start there, all right? Do you like it? Do you not like it? No divisional opponents until that late in the slate.
I'm split on it. I don't like it because I think it's incredibly hard. I think it's like almost a little ridiculous how difficult that makes the end of the season when you think about this is a one-month span. The Packers, mm-hmm. playoff team a year ago,
right.
expected to be in that range again. The Vikings, who probably stink but will be pesky, like annoying to play against, especially at this point, maybe JJ. The Lions, obviously NFC Championship game last mm-hmm. year. The Niners in the Super Bowl a year ago. Vikings again, Lions again, Seahawks primetime, Packers again.
I will say, I think that Seahawks primetime game is like a perfect spot win for the Bears.
And it's at home, and I feel like you're going to need it.
Home, short week, off the holidays, all that stuff.
The part of this that bothers me isn't really that it's all divisional games sandwiched, which is brutal. Like, the idea that you're going to have to play the Vikings twice in a month and the Lions twice in a month, and your respite game is the Niners, is
when people thought it was the Cardinals after all the leaks. If it were the Cardinals, I would probably feel a little better about it.
I would absolutely feel better about it. Like, going Vikings, short week Lions, Niners, back to Vikings is really difficult. Just the fact that you have to play a team twice in a month, everybody should know by now, it's harder to play a team twice in a small period of time than if you play, like, last, and I know the results were what they were, but last year you played Green Bay to start the season and then Green Bay to end the season. That is actually, I think, easier than if you have to play them close together, because it's harder to make the adjustments that you have to make if you're playing a team twice in a month. It's just brutal. But I like it because, look, if you win six games in the opening nine, then your work is out in front of you and you have a mm-hmm. chance to win the division.
I think the other part about it, with facing that many divisional opponents in that span, it feels like we're going to see a lot of 3-3s in the division.
Yeah, I think the whole division might be 3-3.
In a division that I think is the best in all of football, if you can go 3-3 against the best division in football, I think you're in a pretty good spot. And I think we're going to see that just because of the situation that a lot of these teams, because it's not just the Bears. Most, and I'm not saying every team in the division doesn't start division play till week 11, because that's not true. But a lot of these teams are backloaded in the NFC North. And when you do face these teams, like, I think it's going to end up being teams win their home games. And that's just how it's going to play out inside the NFC North.
I tend to agree. And I think that, like, if you think about 3-3 and everybody goes 3-3 in this division, you're in a really good spot because everybody else has a way more difficult outside
right.
of the division schedule.
This is the benefit of being last place and playing the last place schedule.
You're going to have to play the best division in football, your own. If you can split all your games, everybody else is playing a way more difficult schedule. And I think that sets up really nicely. But basically, if you want to chart a path to the playoffs, got to go 6-3 in the first nine games, got to go 3-3 in the division, and you got to beat the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
That puts you at 10-7.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. The other niche of the schedule, the Bears will play every single AFC South team before they play a team within their own division. They start with three straight against the AFC South, home against the Titans, at the Texans, at the Colts. You know, you think back to last year when a lot of people thought, oh, AFC South, maybe the worst division in all of football, and then the NFC South entered the chat. But you look at the AFC South, I think a lot of people thought that is going to be a little bit of an easier path. That's probably the division among all of the AFC divisions that you would want to face. But the more you look at the AFC South, opening up at home against the Titans, I think the Titans are a solid team. They're not a great team by any stretch, but it almost feels a little bit like I'm trying to compare them to a team. Not quite the 2019 Bears, because the defense for Tennessee isn't nearly as good as what the 2019 Bears had. Yeah. But it's got sort of the makings where it's all on the quarterback. If the quarterback's good, that's a good team. That's going to be a good team if the quarterback can play the way that you hope it can.
You know who they are? And I'm not saying this like it's a recency bias, of course. To me, they're the 2023 Bucks.
I was just thinking you were going to say that.
They're a team that everybody has told and sent memos and let them know, you're tanking and you suck. And they aren't receiving any of those memos.
But I don't know if, like, I feel like the outside league before the offseason was saying that about the Titans.
Now,
and then the Titans made
like
some big boy moves in the offseason.
Yeah, now it feels like there's, like I was reading, they could be a surprise team. It feels like people are starting to catch on that, oh, they did add Calvin Ridley, and they did trade for Legarius Sneed. And that trade at first was like, what are they doing? Because everybody assumed they would be bad. Then they made that trade. Then they add Ridley. Then they add Tyler Boyd. They add the guy in the middle whose name is
Boyd Cushenberry.
Correct. All these guys, and you go, okay, you aren't intending on being bad. You're intending on figuring out what you have in your quarterback.
And what, they drafted J.C. Latham this year, if I'm remembering correctly, at seventh overall.
Added on the
think about last
line
year, you drafted Peter Skoronski as well. You've built up that offensive line. You've dropped Will Levis into a pretty enviable situation. Like, talk about everything that the Bears did to build around their young quarterback. The Titans are kind of doing the same thing, and it's just going a little under the radar because the moves aren't quite what the Bears have done, but it's still a similar sort of deal that they're building upon.
They are almost a little bit like last year's Bears in a sense, if the Bears had decided to build more on the offensive side than the defensive side. Because it is kind of like the way I feel like they're structuring it is, we're going to give you all of these things. It reminds me a little bit of the Bears getting DJ Moore and then drafting Darnell Wright. We're going to give you all of these things and see what you are. It's kind of what Poles did for Fields. And if they don't have the luxury of having someone else's number one pick and doing this, but that's just kind of the kind of team I feel like they are. That's a 7-win football team. That's not good, but it's also like, the way everybody's kind of talked about this open to the season with the Titans and especially the Colts, obviously the expectation is the Texans are going to be good. I must have missed where the Titans and Colts aren't meant to be respected in any way. I think Bears fans are getting a little high on the supply of the expectations and this idea that we have Caleb Williams now and we're just going to be awesome and rock with 11 wins. It's going to be an 11-6 or 12-win season. My pick for the season is 10-7. That's kind of where I've landed. I cannot see a pathway to 11 wins. I also cannot see a pathway to only 7. I think you're right around the 8-9-10 range. And when people start going 12-5, and well, the Titans, that's a layup, and the Colts, that's another layup. Dude, I don't know what league you've been watching.
Right. I actually think the Bears will get off to a slower start.
I do too.
Than fans will like. But I do think they have the ability to finish the season stronger, despite the fact of what the schedule may look like. I'm going to tell you this. I don't fear the Lions all that much. The Bears have played the Lions extremely well over the last couple of years.
Fair.
And if you look at both teams who got better during the offseason, the Bears, I think, got better than the Lions did over the course of the offseason.
That's fair, but I would just counter that the Lions were starting from a much higher level and also got better. So I wouldn't say fear them, because the Bears have played the Lions really well.
I mean, they
lately.
Beat them last year, too.
But this is just no slump division. Like, every opponent in this division is worth fearing, and the Lions should be one of the Super Bowl shortlist teams for sure.
I think that if the Bears were facing the Lions a little bit earlier in the season, I would fear it a little more. But because it is later in the season, I think give Caleb Williams a little bit of time to season through and learn and get the rookie bumps in the road out of the way early. I think that's better when he gets to the divisional games at the end of the year.
One other benefit is the Lions blow on Thanksgiving. Everybody knows they stink. They lost to the Packers last year. I think it's been 7 or 8 straight.
They were like an 8-point favorite or 9-point favorite in that game as well.
I think it's been 7 or 8 straight that they've lost on Thanksgiving, just outright lost. And they'll be favored
two
on
to the
Thanksgiving
Bears too
this year, barring some crazy injury. But yeah, the Nagy Campbell game, that was one of the worst football games I've ever watched, and both coaches were desperate to lose it.
Just ask Joe Buck. I mean, he was ready to get the hell out of there.
Yeah, it was horrible. But so that is kind of a benefit. I don't know what the voodoo is there, but the Lions play horribly on Thanksgiving. So getting that game does feel kind of good. It's an opponent you play well, and it's an opponent that plays badly on that day in their own building.
I agree with you there. And then the Bears have just had success against the Lions at home against Jared. I mean, Jared Goff isn't going outside until week 11, I think, this year.
Yeah.
He only has 3 games outdoors all year, and we know he's a different quarterback outside.
December 22nd, outdoors, Soldier Field, Jared Goff, small hands. That's a scheduled L for the Lions.
Yeah, and we saw that exact game play out.
Last year?
Well, not last year, but in 2018 when he was with the Rams. And it was an ugly game. I want to say it was a final score of like 13-3 on Sunday Night Football in 2018. And I think we're going to see a similar game potentially play out this year.
Yeah, it was. And last year was the same deal outside. I think it was like a 35-degree game. And I remember vividly walking out of my apartment into the, I was taking my dog on a walk or I was doing something. And I walked outside and I said, Jared Goff's losing tonight.
The air, the dog walk L.
The air hit my body, and I'm like, the Bears money line, Jared Goff's losing today.
That's fantastic. We do have a spread for week one. I'm sure you've seen it.
I have.
4.5 points. I think that feels about right, but I do think the Titans hang within that number. This feels like a 3-point game.
That is a Titans bet. For me, like
it's not one that I'm going to be making now May 17th, May 18th.
If we get to week one and that number is sitting 4.5, 5, I'm betting the Titans.
And I think it's only going to move, barring injury, it's only going to move in favor of the Bears.
Boy,
pop a six
for me. If that thing pops a 6, it's a quad bomb. That's like an automatic hammer. I already have a feeling the Titans are going to be my biggest exposure because, like, you think about how hype the Bears are right now and the offseason storylines and people believing in this team. And this is not a shot against them. I think this team's going to be good. I said.
And you still think that they can win this game against the Titans?
Yeah, of course. It's just covering 4.5 in the NFL. It's not easy.
Right.
And
especially with a rookie quarterback making his NFL debut.
This goes back to my feeling that, like, I wonder if Bears fans have hit a point where they're unsure how to act with expectations. Because the 11-6 and 12-5 stuff is like, whew. I get that you're excited and you have expectations for this team. If you win 10 games in the NFL, you are really good. Mm-hmm. Like, think of how many games did the Chiefs win last year?
They 12?
11.
11.
They won the Super Bowl.
Right.
They won 11 games. If you win 11 games, you're awesome. If you win 12, you're one of the 3 best teams in the league. So we're throwing out, like, Bears could go 12-5. Relax. 10-7 is incredible. And I feel like that's what this team is. But these games against Titans that are kind of middle of the pack, like we've got the third, fourth easiest schedule. Dude, everybody's schedule is really about the same. You're either playing a 520 win percentage or a 480 win percentage. There's not a lot of margin there.
I think the other thing in terms of, the schedule is easy. Well, think about how that pans out. And some people do it by over-unders in Vegas. Some people do it by last year's win percentage. If you're doing it by last year's win percentage, then by that account, the Bengals are an easy game. The Bears are an easy game.
Right.
I don't think that is true for either of those teams there because you're basing it on something that is completely removed from what they did from a season ago. How about the primetime games? Bears get 3. They get the Thursday night against Seattle right after Christmas. They get Monday night against the Vikings late in the season. And then they get Sunday night week 2 against the Texans. 3 primetime games. I think a lot of people thought this would be a team in the mix for 5. For me, I saw this as the NFL wanted to showcase the Bears, but not crown the Bears.
I think that's fair.
Crowning a team is you get a boatload of Sunday night games. But to showcase a team, you get the London game.
Yep.
You get the Thanksgiving game. You get, and then you get a spread across the Monday, Thursday, Sunday nighters.
Well, they have five standalone games, and I right. imagine that's why they didn't get more of the quote unquote primetime slots.
And guess what? Week 18 is a prime flex spot.
Yep.
I think the NFL is hoping they can flex Bears-Packers to Sunday night.
I have a feeling Bears-Packers made it the finale again because they have a I'm going to be honest. The Lions are winning the NFC North again. I'm willing to say that on the air right now. If there are three playoff spots, then that game kind of blows. If three teams make it in the mm-hmm. North, because it'll be the Packers and the Bears. But if it's a dogfight for the last playoff spot,
that's the one.
Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, no doubt. Lambeau Field in early January. Like, that is the spot the NFL wants to be in. So, all right, when we come back, you want to clarify something you said earlier in the week. And boy, I have some gripes with Wrigley Field.
Ooh.
We'll do all that when we come back. Tyler Aki, Shay Norling on ESPN 1000.
This is Tyler and Shay.
Tyler and Shay. I know you're going to dig this.
Chicago's home for sports. Welcome back to Tyler Aki and Shay Norling. We're back on ESPN Chicago.
All right, the schedule is officially out in the NFL, and Shay, you had a thought earlier in the week that kind of sparked a little bit of controversy, but I think you want to clarify something, and I understand what you were saying from earlier in the week.
Yeah, Sylvie got a little hot about this, said I'm too old to be doing what I'm doing. And I just want to explain the thought process and why I said what I said. I realize I took a probably iffy angle at it by saying I want the Greeny rant. Mm-hmm. Greeny was on one of his shows this week and said he was furious at the NFL for making Monday Night Football the Jets again, the debut in San Francisco, and that he doesn't want Aaron to go on the trip. Understandable, because the Monday Night debut last year, Aaron Rodgers ran out with the American flag and then took four snaps and popped his Achilles.
Little PTSD.
I said I root for radio, I root for funny, and I root for interesting, and I am rooting for Aaron, this is a quote, I am rooting for Aaron Rodgers' Achilles to do the funniest thing possible. And Cap was upset with me, Hoodie looked a little wincing, he was upset about it, and then Waddle and Sylvie did their afternoon show, and you were off, and they mentioned that it was over the line, it was offsides, I was going too far. I'm here to say I'm not going too far at all. I firmly believe this. I am not going to apologize for this take, and I'm going to explain it as best I can. If Aaron Rodgers takes the field in Monday night in San Francisco and in the first opening moments of that game pops his Achilles again, it is objectively funny. If he makes it through the first two series without it, I will no longer be rooting for it. I'll be rooting for him to be healthy and suck because I hate him and I'm tired of him. And here's the thing. I'm rooting for the cosmic comedy of that moment, that opening night, Monday Night Football in consecutive seasons, the Achilles pops both times would be hysterical. I'm comfortable saying it because Aaron Rodgers is a POS. He has spent the last 8 months either on McAfee, disparaging teammates who he reportedly would also refuse to talk to, ghosted his backup quarterback when he had the Achilles tear, but happy to go on McAfee and talk about all the things that his team wasn't doing well enough, also happy to go on McAfee and spread wild conspiracy theories to the extent the show stopped having him on. Also happy to go on Tucker Carlson and do even worse conspiracy theorizing. Yep. Also happy to say wildly dangerous stuff about RFK Jr.'s life being in danger. Also just generally an unlikable guy whose family hates him. I think it would be funny if a guy who's made hundreds of millions of dollars playing a kid's game and has spent 8 months publicly being a bleephole had something bad happen to him. It's not like this is, I'm not calling for his life. I'm saying if his Achilles of its own accord pops on Monday night in consecutive years, I would laugh. He's a bad guy. He's spent this time doing terrible and frankly dangerous things. And what am I supposed to feel bad for here? I'm supposed to have empathy for a guy who's made hundreds of millions of dollars and will have the absolute best level of care and recovery available to him if this injury happens.
And if he chooses to take it.
Right. Right. So, like, why? Who? Where is my empathy in this? Why can't we all just say this thing happening would be objectively funny?
Listen, you're
it
not.
Would be.
You're not rooting for Dak Prescott to have another catastrophic injury, right? That wouldn't be funny because Dak Prescott, by all accounts, seems like a pretty good dude.
Here's a good example, and this is not to comp what Aaron Rodgers does to what this next person does. Every single snap, I hope that Deshaun Watson gets a helmet to the rib and it just cracks. Every snap.
So you've got two voodoo dolls.
Every snap. He's a horrible human being, period. Every snap. You want to call me a bad guy for that? Sorry. How about the... I'm not going to get into it, but I'm just making the point. Everybody knows what Deshaun Watson did. I don't feel like I'm a bad guy if I'm like, yeah, if somebody spikes his rib with their helmet, I'm going to weep. No, I don't care. And I get like, oh, you're dehumanizing him. Yeah, but these guys are horrible humans.
Dude, that would be an all-time Twitter day.
Of course we had
an all-time Twitter day yesterday with Scottie Scheffler and all the memes that came out after he was arrested. This would be an all-time Twitter day that Monday night.
I think if I go, I would feel terrible for Jets fans because they don't deserve it to happen. But I think if it's football reasons, oh my God, if it's football reasons and I'm like, yeah, I just want the Jets to have a bad season. I hope Rodgers gets hurt. Then I think I'm being douchey. But it's the human part of you that I don't like. I want a bad thing to happen to you as a human because you're a bad human.
Not as a football player, because as a football player, you want to see him out there.
Yeah,
I
respect the football player, and I get when people hear this and go, you're dehumanizing an athlete. You are, to you, that's just not even a human being anymore. You're being really disrespectful about this. I get it. I'm making it clear. It's the human being that I want something bad to happen to because I think it would be funny. The way that he's composed himself the past X number of months is embarrassing and honestly dangerous. And I'd laugh. I'd laugh if something cosmically funny happened to him.
That would be the quickest. I would open my phone and go to Twitter.
Yeah, absolutely.
The quickest.
The memes would be incredible.
And if it were Leonard Floyd again, oh boy. Oh boy.
He said if PTSD steps on the field. You got to have a funny bone about some things, man. The fact that Rodgers gets back-to-back Monday night games, and in the previous one, he popped his Achilles, and now Jets fans have to feel this. If it happened again, you have to admit as a person it would be funny. You have to be able to have a funny bone.
Would be an all-time Twitter day. It would.
And like somebody was talking to me about this. They're like, do you realize karma comes around? You could pull your Achilles or pop your Achilles. And I'm like, if I go on the air and I say I'm rooting for this to happen because it would be funny, and then I'm walking down my patio steps and I pop my Achilles, that's funny. that would be hysterical.
Yeah, you can't be the guy who laughs at America's funniest home videos and then say, oh, get on your high horse for something like this.
Right. It's like if I that would be karma for me. It would be funny. I would find a way to laugh at it.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's going to do it for us here.
Oh, no Wrigley thoughts?
We only have like 30 seconds left. Those are evergreen.
Do
because guess
week.
What? I'll probably still be pissed about it the next time I go
How
to a game.
How many Cubs games going to this week?
I don't think any this week. None in the plans. I haven't even looked at the schedule, so I don't even know when they're home this week.
But go to one and see if you can get angrier.
No,
about
because
the
I've been pissed off about this now for two straight games.
I'm very
two
excited.
Straight games.
I'm very excited
so
for this next
we
week.
We will discuss that next week or whenever the next time I get pissed off about it, because it's going to happen again. I'm telling you right now, it is going to happen again. All right, CDGA Golf Show coming up next. We'll talk to you next week.
This is Tyler and Shea on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.